listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am really happy to tell you that Dr. Quentin Henning is with us once again, this time to give us an update on Novo Resources. Quentin is now the non-executive co-chairman of the company that he built, and Quentin, he is also full-time with Crescat Capital, where he provides very valuable advice to that firm to help them select exploration companies with the potential to outline world-class gold and silver deposits. I know many years that I've known Dr. Henning, he's not interested in tiny little projects. He's looking for the big guys, and he very often is involved in finding them. And he's going to be here in the next segment as well to cover some of the others companies that he's provided some advice on. Quentin, thanks for joining me again.
Absolutely, always a pleasure, Jay.
It's always a pleasure to have you as well. I maybe should just mention for those that, well, I think everybody knows Novo by now, but it's NVO in Toronto, NSRPF in the U.S., 246 million shares. I saw it earlier today at $1.20 in U.S. money, giving it a market cap around 300 million in U.S. money, but it's also noteworthy that the company has some very significant assets as well, that is liquid assets in the form of cash and marketable securities. I don't know, by my count, it looks like something on the order of 160 million U.S. dollars, something like that. And so the company is well-funded, and it's got lots going on. So let's get started with now a new producer. Novo is a new producer. We've been covering it for many years before it produced, but now it's producing. It announced production of 14,890 ounces in the second quarter of this year, and 18,000, it boosted that to 18,144 ounces in Q3, but the market was expecting something higher, I think, maybe somewhat disappointed, although for the many years I've been covering companies, I know that new producers almost never go straight up. They always have some startup issues, and so the Beaton's Creek project that Novo put into production would be no exception. There is a shortfall of due primarily, as I understand, Quentin, to lower head grades, and the company was going to try to resolve that by tighter spaced pre-production drilling, I think, on 10-meter centers. How are things going in that regard? I mean, are you seeing some results, positive results from like a tighter spacing?
Certainly, we are, Jay. So to give everybody a little background, we started production around mid-February of this year. Mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge we had initially was around grade control. The laboratory that we had worked out to do our grade control assaying simply got backed up, mainly due to a shortage of people. Like the preparation of samples was probably the biggest bottleneck. But long story short, we had to be light on our toes and implement visual grade control. Not ideal for any deposit, mm-hmm. especially when you're starting. So, you know, that had challenges in itself. But we managed to kind of get things heading in the right direction by July of this year. Now, part of that, that transition is, or not transition, but I guess a learning exercise around visual grade control was, we were mining different reefs at different times, you know, different layers of conglomerate at different times. And what we found is that in different layers and different areas, you know, there are subtleties that are, you know, that have to be recognized, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, thickness of the bed and then, you know, its lateral continuity and so forth. And so, you know, that imparted some further challenges. But what we decided to do was firstly, get our laboratory issue worked out. So in May, we signed an agreement with Intertech to put our grade control samples through the Chrysos machine that they had purchased there. Now, they had purchased one, and then the second one was installed about a month or two later. So by mid-year, we started to get routine assays coming out from the assay lab, which was really, really helpful. Now, initially, the team on site targeted 20-meter spacings to try to get a handle on things. You know, they were actively mining. You know, you can't just simply park everything up and not do anything. So they got their 20 by 20 spacing holes in place in some critical areas and assays back by, say, October, maybe early October. Mm-hmm. But even with that, it was recognized that 10 by 10 meter control was needed. So they've been very aggressively drilling on 10 by 10 meter spacing now. And that's given a great deal of, you know, high resolution on exactly where each bed is and how to mine it. That has resulted in a better success here in the past few weeks. I've noticed the grade steadily increasing. Mm-hmm. Part of that, you know, is they are mining the M1 and M2 in certain areas too, which is very helpful. They're very sheet-like and continuous conglomerates. So overall, we're seeing a dramatic improvement in the grade control issues that we face. I think from here on out, the guys with 10 by 10 meter space drill grade control drilling, they should be in a good position to effectively minimize dilution. Now, that said, we are still mining new areas. Every day that goes along, you know, we get into new parts of the ore body. We're up on Golden Crown Hill right now, which is a pretty complicated area, but the guys seem to have their eye tuned into things, and with these 10 by 10 results as they come back, I think they'll be able to stay on top of things. So I'm very optimistic there.
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy, Quentin, if I understand the financials, despite these difficulties, it was pretty much an operating, you weren't suffering losses on an operating cash flow, if I understand the numbers. You were, you know.
Yeah, we were treading water. I mean, you know, there were months where we made pretty good money, and then there were other months where, you know, we had to, well, for example, we had to build the tailings lift, which is a capital item in itself, so a sustaining capital item. So, you know, the company's been basically treading water the operation's been treading water in terms of cash flow.
Today.
We do expect that to improve going forward. It's, like I said, really turning a corner here lately, and I'm very optimistic. And it's to the point now where our exploration team, you know, is kind of given the green light to go ahead and be very aggressive, you know, with spend on exploration. And that's really our next main thrust, is to make sure that we start exploring the district and even other areas of the Pilbara.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere one of the corporate PowerPoint presentations that the company still has a target, or at least a desire to produce upwards to 100,000 ounces a year from Beaton's Creek. Obviously, production levels thus far fall short of that. But the point is that, as you just said, you started exploring aggressively out and around Beaton's Creek as well, right? Maybe you could talk about that, because you've had some pretty outstanding numbers that I've seen come across from different areas, fairly close to Beaton's Creek.
Yeah, Beaton's Creek is the deposit in the conglomerate, mm-hmm. and that's really part of the greater Nulligan Gold Project. So we have this area around the town of Nulligan, in which we kind of class it as near mine or, you know, near production type exploration. And that includes a lot of new targets that we're finding out in the Mosquito Creek area, which is to the east of Beaton's Creek. And we have had some very good results here lately. We had some announced a few weeks ago from the Genie Prospect, which is only 3 kilometers north of the mill. So, you know, very low-hanging fruit. And then other targets. And now recently we've been drilling at Parnell Vulture, which is a very large target that we have identified through soil sampling and geologic work, really sound geologic work. And we're drilling 15,000 meters there. So we've announced that to the market. The goal of all of this is to put together basically a longer mine life. And, you know, we want to be in this camp for a long time. So we're looking at tackling basically every exploration opportunity we can see within reason around the mill.
Mm-hmm. How close are those to the mill, Genie and Parnell? And I think there's another one, Hemi?
Yeah, him. Yeah, let's pick them apart. So Genie is only 3 kilometers north of the mill. Parnell's about 35 or 40 kilometers by road to the northeast of the mill, and it's, you know, easily trans, you know, within transport distance. And then the Hemi target, which that's actually DeGray's target. The area that we're exploring on the, we'll call it Hemi Trend, is a belt of rocks that's way over by Port Hedland. So it's not really impactful for the immediate production at Nulligan, but it's certainly a really robust target, or targets, I should say, that we've identified here recently.
Your focus had been until recently almost exclusively on conglomerate hosted gold. Is that changing?
It's changing in the sense that we are recognizing some basement targets that we think are well worth going after. Part of the issues around working in certain areas to get native title and heritage work done. We're being very patient and diligent and trying to work with our Aboriginal partners in these areas. And so, you know, sometimes our priorities shift to areas that we can see can be advanced sooner. So the area around this Hemi Trend that I mentioned is kind of just north of the reserve in that area. So we think we can move that forward a little bit quicker. We're also moving the area around Comet Well and Purdy's Report forward. We're doing that mechanical sorting test work here shortly. But we've also identified some new targets. There is a lot of activity in the Pilbara, I guess. What I would say is that we kind of blaze the trail for others to start exploring, and other are coming in, not necessarily just gold either. You know, you're seeing lithium is very big, of course, iron ore always, but we're also seeing nickel discovery. So we recognize that that geology basically underlies our land position in places. We've got, you know, around 13,000 square kilometers, so it's not surprising to have some of these other potentials.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, very interesting. Battery metals. Well, I know your focus. I know you're a gold guy, Quentin, and I know you're not going to stray too far from gold. But if there's the opportunities there, you're certainly that would be great.
I think we're looking at it as a value add. You know, like it might not even be us that necessarily advances some of these other targets, but we're trying to identify some targets that maybe we bring in another partner or something. Some of them we tackle ourselves at least to a degree or something. You know, it's up for debate right now, but we do want to inform our shareholders that we do have a lot of the potential that others have seen across this region.
I've got to ask you about mechanical sorting, because in my mind that is potentially very, very big for Novo. How's that going, and could you give our listeners a sense of what it might mean? I know that I think you're going to a larger scale right now. You're testing it. Earlier scales looked extremely impressive and successful. But could you just talk a little bit about mechanical sorting?
Absolutely.
And where you're going with that?
Yeah, certainly. We put out a news release on mechanical sorting test work. We'll call it field level test work that we're undertaking a couple of weeks ago. And the machine is now installed at Nulligan, so it's basically put. We had constructed the machine and all its peripheral equipment right next to the existing mill there at Nulligan. It simply makes it easier for us, I guess, to permit and operate there. We've got a whole bunch of bulk samples that were discussed in the news release from various projects that we have across the Pilbara. So we got stuff from Comet Well and Edgina and Talga, and even, you know, Beaton's Creek and stuff. So we're going to put those samples through over the next few weeks here. They are basically in place, and I think most of the material has been crushed and is and screened and is ready for the test work. And I can't tell you exactly where they're at this second, but I know that that's a main initiative over the next few weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, it could really be very significant, I think. And with regard to Egina, I think that you mentioned, I think there's maybe an orogenic target there or next to it, but it won't interfere, as I understand, you know, with the existing target that you were looking at.
That's correct. Look, this Hemi Trend, we'll call it, is a basement-hosted gold system. It's associated with a certain type of intrusives that are called synecdoches, a little bit odd name, but basically They're gold-rich intrusions that seem to have generated some pretty stout gold deposits like De Grey has. We have that trend on our ground, and we will explore, but it does not impact our ability to operate the gravels, the near-surface gravels in that area.
Very good. All right. So we got to go to break now, but what could you – I guess investors just need to keep their eyes on the news releases. There's a lot of things you'll have coming out.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of exploration news, the mechanical sorting, of course, but we'll also have some updates around production out of Beaton's Creek as far as what the future is going to look like. So we're able to start talking here soon about forecasts of what to come and how we're going to build production from here forward.
Very good. Excellent. All right. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because Quentin will be right back with me after we go to commercial break, and he's going to give us a little bit of an update on some very exciting stories: El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, Labrador Gold Corp, all companies that are sponsors of this show, companies that I have in my newsletter that I'm extremely excited about. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Henning to talk about, give us an update, a little bit of an overview and an update on those companies. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.